Welcome to Let's Talk Midlife Crisis. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Tracy. We're your go-to hosts for all things midlife, menopause, and moments of pure mayhem. And today we welcome Susanna and Pran from the Meditation Breath and Heart School.
Hello, Tracy. It's good to be with you.
Thank you. Ashley, unfortunately, isn't able to make it today. And but so happy to have you. I know that you guys are located in Tucson. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 81 and Suzanne is 73. And we met 40 years ago. when I was 40. So I guess it was 43 years ago. And
you look great for your age.
We were both very interested in meditation, which is, you know, a kind of a specialty. It's something for self-development, but it also solves a lot of problems. It's not just spacing out and, you know, going to a place where there's no issues or problems. Our meditation is about the heart, so we want to bring into the meditation the problems in our lives. So I was having a problem in my life. I had started a company. I was an entrepreneur, but I had raised money and we were building a machine, but it wasn't going well. Mm. But I was happily married to somebody else, and I was meditating. I mean, I meditated a lot. I still do. I've been meditating for a very long time, 50 some years, and.
Wow.
So I was meditating and, you know, trying to resolve my problems or just understand them even. And I started getting this vision of a woman. I could see her face and I could feel her qualities. And I told my wife about it. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to meet this woman at the retreat that's coming up in the Alps in the summer. So this was like 6 months or so before the retreat was going to happen. And it kept happening. I kept meditating and seeing this woman's face. I kept talking to my wife about it, but she wasn't concerned. She wasn't concerned. She, you know, because we meet a lot of people at our work. And, it was a meditation school at that time as well. So I knew lots of people. It didn't seem to be any threat to our marriage, but when I got to the camp in the Alps, I mean, magnificent thing, I mean, way up above the tree line, where it's just pristine location, and it's in the summer, the place is just beautiful with little flowers all over the hillsides in the French Alps.
Oh, and, wow. Beautiful. Sounds beautiful.
And I arrived in the afternoon. The program was already going, so there was nobody to meet me. But I thought I'd just walk over to where maybe I can get something to eat. And there's a special tent that was for the kitchen. And there she was. She was waiting for me.
Wow. Really? And that's when you both first met?
That's how we met. And I recognized her, and I was very happy to see her, and we just spent a lot of time together at that camp, talking and talking and talking.
Amazing.
But it was a difficult situation because we were both married. She was married, I was, to different people.
Right.
And it was clear that something had sparked between us that was not going to go away. So 3 years later, we got married. We moved in together. It took 3 years to clear out our respective relationships and responsibilities and so on. I mean, this is a big deal to
change. That's a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Divorces are terrible things, really. And so it took a while to straighten that all out, and so we could get together. And we've been together ever since.
That's an amazing story. That's just an amazing story. Wow.
Would it be okay if I say a few words to this?
Of course. Of course, Susanna.
He always tells the story first, and I have to sit here and listen to it. Well, I went to this meditation camp, and I went to the meditation camp, and I was actually working at the camp. So part of my job, you know, I was doing all the recording of all the lectures that went on from different teachers. And the other job was that I look in the kitchen when guests come to welcome them. Huh. So I was not waiting for Puran, just to make that clear. But it was delightful when we met, and I was very much married, but my marriage was not in the best place. Mm-hmm. So, but I was, you know, Puran tells us as we met then, and we did have a very good time together. We met in at lunches or at dinners, and so I did all the recordings. My midlife crisis was actually when we moved in together, and he moved four children in. That was my midlife crisis.
Wow. So do you have any children of your own, Susanna?
I had one child.
One child, yeah. Big difference between one child and four children, yes.
And he did not move all four at once in, but after a year or 1.5 years, I had five children in and out. You know, they all had their mother. And so, but it was a very difficult and very challenging time for me because I did not count on that at all. This was not in my planning. You know, I love children, but I know as a woman, I mean, if this would, I would have never done this to myself because as a woman, having four or five children, you don't have a career. Right. Let's face it.
Right.
At least the way how I am. And I was, from very early on in my life, my plan was to have a career, and I was very interested in psychology, in therapy, and meditation. And here I had beautiful five children in and out of my life. So that was a great challenge. And I can only tell you, without meditation, I would have not survived that period of my life.
Oh my goodness.
And so were they all
under 18? At the time, minor children or adult children or a mixture of both?
No, they were all under 18.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yeah. So the youngest besides mine was 6. That was the youngest, and the oldest, she actually was 16 or 17, 18 probably by the time we moved in. And she never really moved directly in at that period. She moved in at a later point because she wanted to be really close with her father. And she was much older, and she had some crisis going. So it's like an interesting thing to accommodate all that as a woman, you know, while you really try to move forward in your life as a couple, and then always seeing to where is my life? You know, I do think a lot of women experience that in today's day and age. And I'm very grateful because my life turned out really wonderful, and maybe in spite of the children or because of the children, you know, you learn so much through that crisis to go through it successfully. And what does it mean to go through a crisis in a successful way?
Right.
Those are the great questions, you know, and what are the tools that we can apply?
Yes. Yes. And I think that there are so many blended families now. I feel like there's a lot of our listeners that can definitely relate to what you're talking about and what you guys have experienced. That's amazing. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the meditation piece, because you said that it was critical. That was that the retreat or where you went when you guys first initially met?
Yeah, that was a meditation retreat teacher. That's through this teacher we met, and he's a wonderful, very well-known, renowned teacher. And with a really, really great background in very solid meditation. And he asked us, you know, after 2-3 years that we were together, to create our own school. And that's what we did. And so we were very clear about that we wanted to base our school on the heart. Because there's a big difference in meditation when you work heart-based, because the heart is in the physical body, and the heart has a beat.
Right.
Because the heart is in the physical body, it's an embodied meditation. And because the heart has a beat, it's something you have to focus on and that you can concentrate on when you are in crisis or when you are in turmoil and or when you feel like I'm attacked. Gosh, there are all these children around me. How do I find my peace and my concentration?
Yes, I've always had problems meditating, and I feel like I'm often a highly wound person, right? So I think that the calming and meditation has always been a struggle for me, but it's interesting the connection with the heart.
Yeah, I would say, Tracy, it's not your fault that's difficult, because it's just the fault of the method.
Okay.
See, people are trying to adopt in our time a method that comes from, I don't know, 2,500 years ago.
Right.
And it just doesn't fit, you know. So people are trying to stop their mind or shut off their mind or calm their mind. Forget about it. We say don't shut off anything.
Okay.
Turn on the heart. And the heart is an energetic center. It's a center of... It creates a magnetic field, actually, around the body. So you're sitting as a physical person inside a huge sphere of energy, which is measurable. This is real stuff. And so the heart has... Say, when you meditate with your heart, in our method is called heart rhythm meditation.
Okay.
You don't space out, and you don't fall asleep, and you don't have trouble concentrating, because you're focused on something, and that something is inside you, and it has a beat. So you just think that the heartbeat is the first sound you ever heard. It was your mother's heartbeat. It was your first sound.
Oh.
And so when you listen to your own heartbeat, it's like going home.
Right.
You know, it's a very nice feeling.
Wow. It makes complete sense, because I remember when my children were little, there was a little thing that was like battery operated that simulated a heart that you could put in like the bassinet with them and things like that. So it does make complete sense to me, but I'm so intrigued by this method. I've never heard of it before. And kudos to you, Susanna, because meditation, I was thinking, how do you clear your mind when you have all these children running around and little ones, right? So that's a big span from, you know, six that keeps you running and busy to, you know, teenagers that might drive you crazy in a whole different way. So, and you were able to find your balance there through this method. That's just fabulous.
Yes. You know, and it's in a very simple method, you know, in a way it's like most meditation, you find a great place where you can sit comfortable. And then you just look around in the room and you let yourself be comforted by being in a space that you feel comfortable with and that is familiar. And then when you close your eyes and you hear the sounds around you, the sounds can comfort you too. And then you feel your breath, and then you slowly, slowly make your breath fall deep and rhythmic. You know, we're working with a deep, full, complete exhalation and a deep, full, complete inhalation. So that is something different to most meditation, to breathe as deep as you can and as slow as you can and make the breath very full. You know, go as far and deep in the inhalation and exhalation. Already that has a big effect on your heart and on your nervous system, the way you think and the way you feel. And when you breathe so slow, full, and deep, then you start hearing either your pulse or your heartbeat. And when you hear that rhythm, you start aligning those rhythms. You literally look for how many heartbeats or pulses do I inhale, and for how many pulses or heartbeats do I exhale. And that creates a synchronization of breath and heart. And this synchronization synchronizes also the mind and the body and your psyche. Finally, your whole inner being has the feeling, finally, she's paying attention to me inside, to the self. And that is where it starts then. You know, when you start practicing over time, some people have to do it 10 times a day for 3 minutes because they can't sit still. And some of us can sit 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But it sort of brings a whole other awareness and rhythm to us And then the heart starts speaking to us. And the heart speaks through the body. You know, sometimes through you start becoming itchy or nervous.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And sometimes you get very, very great thoughts. You know, think like, wow, I've never thought of that before. You get a surprise. And sometimes you hear voices. You know, you hear your father's voice, you know, talking to you, or a good friend.
Right.
And yeah, it's so fascinating. And some people see things. Do you see?
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Again, I've never been one that has been able to meditate. I think I've always been focused on clearing my mind. And I think that that just makes things swirl even more, if that makes sense. But I never really thought about trying to listen to my heartbeat. And I know that breathing has a lot to do with it. I've used breathing exercises with different,
yes,
for different things like anxiety, right? Big inhales through the nose and out through the mouth ourselves and bring the anxiety down a bit. But I'm curious to know, because I have had high blood pressure for probably the last 20 years. My guess is that through this technique, theoretically, I would think that that would also be able to help high blood pressure. Is that correct? Or do either one of you have high blood pressure?
That's right. We have data on that. We have research on that. Mm. So the biological response is that when you breathe slowly and deeply, it sends a signal. It causes a stimulus in the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is a marvelous little instrument. It runs all through the body, touches all the different organs, and it gives a slowdown signal. So it reaches the heart, it reaches the lungs, it reaches the digestion, it reaches the eyes and the brain, every place. So this is caused simply. So you get a relaxation response just by breathing slowly and deeply. Then if you, the next step is to balance the breath, because most people breathe in or out more than the other. They mm-hmm. breathe in a lot and out a little, or the other way around. And so we want a balanced breath, because when you breathe in, you're taking the atmosphere of the world into yourself. You're actually inhaling the atmosphere around you, and that atmosphere includes energies coming from other people's hearts, which are generally speaking very helpful. But anyway, you need to be able to process that. And when you breathe out, you're causing influence into the environment. You're affecting other people's hearts. So there's a direct energy transmission from heart to heart. It happens all the time, but when it's conscious, you can really make use of it. So by this method, you can become more influential towards others. You can also listen more deeply, because you're picking up a vibration which is being transmitted electromagnetically through a kind of a radio wave coming from their heart.
I could definitely use anything to help me be a better listener. Fascinating information. And so you have an entire school on this that's located in Tucson, Arizona. Is that correct?
Well, yes. Our headquarters is here, but it's really an international school, because we do almost all of our work online.
Makes sense in today's world.
We have people all over the place. Our first book was published by Random House, fortunately, and they distributed it to airport bookstores all over the world. That was a very, very good break.
Yes.
It then got published again in Europe and in China and so on. So our book has gotten around. But
and you have several books, correct? So
we have many now. And
okay.
So, but you mentioned blood pressure. Well, you see, when you breathe like this, you can get a 20-point drop in your blood pressure. Now, if your blood pressure is already good, it won't go any lower. But if it's too high, you can bring it back to, you know, a normal range just by the way you breathe. And then thinking of the heart as well, you get this emotional benefit, because the heart is not just, you know, a pump. It's also a kind of a digestive organ in emotions, right?
Yes, yeah, that's very powerful. And, you know, that really helps in in midlife crisis, because whatever crisis you go through, if it's with children or a relationship or with your job, some mm-hmm. people lose your job or they lose their house, you know, whatever crisis you go through in these times, there's always emotions involved. Right. And by breathing fully, deeply, and slowly, and connecting with the heart not only brings up the current crisis that you're in, but probably crisis or wounds that you had in your childhood. And this is where this ability to digest emotion, to transform them through the breath, by making the breath very deep, the breath is actually on the physical level, oxygen. Mm-hmm. On the emotional level, it is energy. And on the spiritual level, it's spirit. It's actually electricity comes into your body through the nervous system and into your heart. And this is why we can speak about the heart is a digestive organ, you know, because it sort of eats up, you know, like Pac-Man. It eats up this kind of trauma that people hold in within themselves, right, and keeps the heart healthy and strong, the physical heart, because people get arrhythmia, heart attacks, all the heart problems that you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And through the breath, you protect your heart and keep being healthy, and you can pay attention to the crisis that is happening. So that's one level of it.
Okay.
Tracy, it goes on and on, you know, like with your kids. You know, we had our kids I was in this family from when they were little. Now they are in their 40s, 50s, and they have grandchildren. And we, you know, we live here in Tucson. There is only one of them lives with us here in Tucson. Not he doesn't live with us. He has his own family.
But locally, right. Old.
Right. But what we do is we meditate on them. You can take your children into your heart and feel them in your heart and see how do they do. How are they doing? So we do this regularly in our morning or evening meditation, and we talk about how this one does and how these grandchildren do. And then when we have our phone call, there's like a different kind of connection there with them, you know, what their needs are, and the conversation is different because we are actually energetically in tune with them. And that's what you can do too with a former spouse, you know, like our separations were not the easiest with our spouses, and this is because till we got through with our divorces and could clear all this, we meditated a lot on our spouses and helped to clear the difficulties through meditation, believe it or not. Not mediation, but literally meditation, to hold that former husband, back then it wasn't a former, in my heart and feel his pain by going through the shock of me leaving him and holding in my heart. And we have to this day a very good relationship, my former husband and I, and we communicate, and we have one son together, and now it's his first grandchild and my first grandchild, and he's going to come to America and be with us. So we were able to really mend that relationship in a very well.
He'll probably stay with us.
Yeah, he's probably going to stay with us.
Wow, yeah. This is so amazing.
Yeah.
I have never, you know, heard of meditation connected with the heart. Makes 100% sense. But utilizing meditation in the way that you're speaking of is a totally new concept to me, and I'm sure to a lot of our listeners. But it's interesting to see the wide span that of benefits that it could have on an individual, from, you know, high blood pressure to, you know, dealing with stress of, you know, young children or children or work, and then as well as connecting with people through that. That is such a fascinating, fascinating concept. So, and I'm sure that you go into that a little bit further in your books, as well as in your class and your teachings. So that, and it's actually iamheart.org, and all of the information and links to your books and your website will be in the show notes of this episode, so our listeners can connect with you. But I'm finding it just so very fascinating. We, in a few minutes, or, you know, in a few sentences, Can you describe a little bit about your teachings? If someone was to go to your website and want to participate and take, is it a amount of courses or how does one learn more about this through your teachings? Well,
we have an app. It's a free app. It's called Breath and Heart. You can get it at the PlayStation or the App Station, depending on your phone. And so it has hundreds of meditations in there.
Okay.
And you see, one of the features, like Susanna was saying, you meditate on something, mm-hmm. meditate on a person. What we mean is that you go into your meditation space, you close your eyes, you think of your heart and your breath, and you think also of that person. So you're not trying to clear away everything. You're trying to bring in the people that you're concerned about.
Like channeling
And then they benefit as well, you see.
Okay. That's the part that is so fascinating to me. The fact that they can benefit from that I definitely am going to be checking more into this. So there are free, there's an app and it's all free and you're just sharing that with everybody globally. This is amazing. I think for whatever reason, I feel like the world is in a very stressful, traumatic place for a lot of people for varied reasons. You know, I'm sure that technology and, you know, the fast-paced lifestyle that most of us have now contribute a lot to that. But I definitely can see the benefit of, you know, learning more about this.
We also have a daily meditation live with a live teacher on every day. There are different, you know, 7 days a week, 7 different teachers at different times. So we have those, some have it 6 o'clock in the morning, Pacific time, so whatever time that is, and some have it in the afternoon, morning. So you can find your time and you can find a teacher there whom you can ask questions or say, I'm dealing with this and this, and they might design a meditation for you right on the spot. Right. So, and then we have, of course, courses, 2-year courses. We do sometimes 16 months courses for special topics. We have a lot of teachers in our school. And, you know, because Heart Rhythm Meditation is so intricate, we have in our school also mentors or coaches, as you would be familiar with. Mm. And a lot of the courses come with a coach, because when people get in touch with those emotions or traumas or too, you know, there is a step in the meditation where meditation actually becomes very spiritual, you know, and spiritual means that you start understanding more deeply what your life is about, what your purpose is, or you learn, who am I, who is this I am consciousness,
right.
You see, who is the one being and who am I? You know, we think actually there is only one heart and one being, mm-hmm. one life. And so there is like a philosophy to this school that really carries you. And that philosophy comes from mysticism. And so it is a very deep, long, you know, worthwhile to study. We have in our school students that are here with us for 30 years, and they are teachers, mentors, coaches. We have retreats, personal retreats where you can come and meditate for a whole week or 3 weeks with an individual teacher. You get your food taken care of. So it's a really...
Wow.
360...
It's a school.
Yes, it's a school.
We have weekend programs and everything.
But we go to conferences, you know, and we have done this a lot. We won awards and we have come a long way.
This is fabulous. The website, link to the app, all kinds of things and books will be in our show notes. But thank you so much for joining me today. Wishing you all the best in the years to come. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tracy, for having us on.
When you come to Tucson, stop by.
Will do.
Well, that wraps it up for today. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Midlife Crisis. We hope you got some laughs, a little inspiration, and maybe a few new ideas.
If you loved today's episode, hit that subscribe button so you'll never miss an episode. And hey, share the love. Send this episode to a friend who could use a good laugh and some midlife wisdom.
Connect with us on social media at Let's Talk Midlife Crisis and let us know what's on your mind. We love hearing from you.